Puritan preacher Richard Baxter once said, "When you are heartless and dull under the ordinances of God and Scripture has little life or sweetness to you, and you are almost indifferent whether you call upon God in secret or not, and whether you go to the congregation and hear the Word of God and join in God's praises and communion of the saints, and you have no relish in holy conference or any ordinance, but do them merely almost for custom or to satisfy conscience, and not for any great need you feel of them or good you find by them, that shows for certain," he says, "that you want more of the rod and spur."
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. Thank you for joining us. We're going to turn in the Word of God to Hosea 14 today and consider the subject of backsliding. Often in the Old Testament we find the people of God turning away from the Lord, following after their own ideas and ideologies, and following after the false idols of the heathen. And in our message today, the Lord deals with his people, God's gracious dealings with a backslidden people.
Turning to Hosea chapter 14, and in thinking of the Lord's table this evening, I thought, in light of what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11 regarding examining ourselves, that it would be good and beneficial to consider the subject that we have before us today, because in reality it is a subject that points to that question, or an outworking of that thought, to examine ourselves. And so Hosea 14, the verse 1, God's truth says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. The Puritan preacher Richard Baxter once said, when you are heartless and dull under the ordinances of God, and Scripture has little life or sweetness to you, and you are almost indifferent whether you call upon God in secret or not, and whether you go to the congregation and hear the Word of God and join in God's praises and communion of the saints, and you have no relish in holy conference or any ordinance, but do them merely almost for custom, or to satisfy conscience, and not for any great need you feel of them, or good you find by them. That shows for certain, he says, that you want more of the rod and spur. Your hearts are not sufficiently broken and awakened, but God must take you in hand again. There is a reminder, therefore, from the old Puritan, that we can grow dull and cold in our relationship with God. We can come to the house of God and to worship, but yet we are merely going through the motions. We are standing and we are singing, and that act of singing and praise is just the work of our vocal cords and not from joy within our hearts. Listening to the Word of God is the work of our mind and our ears. But there is no heart in that desire to hear the truth of God. And dear believer today, how often that can be our case. We can think of those in the church at Ephesus, and the Savior said to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And that is the reality today, dear congregation, that in our walk with God, we can grow cold. In our walk with God, we can take our eyes off the Savior and we can look to other things, and he can go down the list of priorities. Instead of being first, instead of being preeminent, Christ is put below those things that he ought to be above. Robert Robinson was a preacher and a hymn writer. During his life, he lost the happy communion with the Savior that he once enjoyed. And in his later years, he wandered into the byways of sin. As a result, he became discouraged and troubled, and he decided to travel. And one day, he came across a young woman, and she began to talk to him about spiritual matters. And she asked him what he thought of what she was reading. and he found that the words that she read had been a hymn penned by himself. He tried to evade the question, but was pressed for a response. And he began to weep and say, he said, "I am the man who wrote that hymn many years ago. I'd give anything to experience that again and experience the joy that I knew." She was surprised and assured him that the streams of mercy that he had penned still flowed, and his wandering heart was turned again to the Lord. Oh, how there is that open door for the people of God to return. This is what the Lord says, verse 4, "I will heal their backsliding." The prophet Hosea was the prophet of God in the days of several kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He was also a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Jeroboam was an ungodly and a wicked man who led Israel into sin. 1 Kings 15, verse 34 tells us regarding another king that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. Often we think of those who walked in the way of David, a godly king, a righteous king. But here we're reminded of those that walked in the ways of Jeroboam, a way that we ought not to walk in, a way that we ought to forsake, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. There is a reminder here of the influence of sin. An unbeliever today, child of God, wherever you stand spiritually, your sin is not merely something that is just about you. It's not just about you. Your sin influences others. And your heart may grow cold toward God. You may find yourself not desiring to read the Word of God, not desiring to pray, not desiring to come to the house of God. And that's the influence that your sinful heart has upon your own soul. But it also exerts an influence over others, does it not? Those in your family, those that you're supposed to lead in spiritual things. That example for Christ that you are to set. What happens when you grow cold? What happens when you go into sin? There is an influence for that among those that are around you. And dear believer, let us make sure that we're not influenced by the sin of others. Let us make sure that we do not influence others in sin, but that we influence them toward the God of heaven by a good testimony and a good witness. And here in Hosea chapter 14, it is said that there was at this time a prosperity and a growth in Israel. There was material prosperity, but inwardly there was a great spiritual corruption and depravity. And so often there can be material prosperity in our lives, in our homes, in the church. There can be a material prosperity, but we must always acknowledge that a material prosperity may not necessarily be an evident sign of the blessing of God. Sometimes God can bless in spite of our sin and coldness. We can think of churches and congregations that are great and have so much income and wealth and great facilities, but yet the true gospel of Christ is never preached. It's never presented. Christ is not set forth as the only Savior of sinners, but yet there's a material wealth and a prosperity. God blesses, yes, in spite of our sin and coldness. In fact, is it not a mercy that God chooses to bless us at all? I want you to turn to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, just a few books over from Hosea. And here we have the people, they focused on themselves. The time is not come, they said, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They had the duty to live for God and to build the house of God. And they said, no, the time has not come. And verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, houses that were finished? And this house, the house of God, to lie waste, the thought being perhaps that the materials to be used for the house of God And that work having ceased, those materials were sitting there, and so they used the materials set aside for God for themselves. And God's house lay waste, and the Lord said to them, verse 5, consider your ways. Consider your ways. They were to focus upon the Lord, not themselves. And the Lord came here. He was not first and foremost. The command of God had not been obeyed. And He comes and He says, consider your ways. Dear congregation, today, when we consider matters of spiritual importance, when we consider our relationship with God, when we prepare ourselves tonight to come to the table of God, what are we told? Examine yourselves. Consider your ways. Those ways may be righteous. Those ways may be good. There may be much that we can rejoice in through God's working within our lives. But maybe, and most certainly, there are things that we need to consider. That relationship can always grow. Our love for Christ cannot always increase. And Hosea prophesied that in these days, concerning the sins of the nation, that the judgment of God would fall upon them. And in chapter 14, after setting before the nation their guilt and impending judgment, the tune changes, as it were, and there is an earnest plea of repentance and a promise of blessing from the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon, when he preached on this passage, he spoke about the thunderous appeal as a storm immediately overhead, expecting the bolts of heaven to come down upon the people for their sin and rebellion and disobedience against the God of heaven. But instead of the bolt of heaven, he said, there is instead, therefore, a silver shower of mercy. As the Lord says, O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. He says that the whole book of Hosea is like a trial where witnesses have appeared against the accused. And there are these arguments and excuses being answered. All has been heard. And then the judge, instead of bringing down justice and wrath, he lifts up his arms and in tones of pity, he cries, O Israel, return, return. Today, as we come to the Word of God, is there a message here for you? In some way, in some sense, though you're in the house of God, though you are singing the hymns of praise, though you may very well come tonight and partake at the table of the Lord, you know there has been something of a turning from God. He's not first. There's been a drawing away of your attention from other things. There's maybe been a coldness at heart. Coming to worship, opening the Word of God, you may still do all these things, but it's out of just going through the motions. There's no joy, there's no passion for Christ like there once was. We come then to a message for you and for your soul, and I want you to consider God's gracious dealings with a backslidden people. God's gracious dealings with a backslidden people. We see, first of all, here the sorrowful plight of the backslider. The sorrowful plight of the backslider. Verse 1, and moving down the passage, we see a number of things. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. That's really the summary of this. These people had fallen from God, fallen from their relationship with God. Why? Because of iniquity and because of sin. And that is what happens. They were in apostasy. They fell away from a position they once held. And how many are like that? They once loved the Lord and desired to serve Him and professed Him, but that fire and that passion for Christ has gone out. Once there was a close walk with God, but now they are far from Him. And this sorrowful plight includes a forsaking of God. A forsaking of God. Verse 1 says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Why were they to return? Because they were far from God. There had been a forsaking by God. And while we rejoice as God's people that He will never leave us nor forsake us, we, on the other hand, can turn from our God. Israel was the Lord's chosen people. The Lord had said to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. They know in the blessing of God through their history what a heritage they had. But we find they had forsaken the Lord. Deuteronomy tells us that the Lord set His love upon them. Deuteronomy tells us that they're to remember that they were a bondman in Egypt. They were redeemed. Deuteronomy 24:18 reminds us of that. Luke 15 speaks about the prodigal son, the one who went his own way, left the father's house, had his own ideas, went and spent his money, and lived in riotous living. And what happened? His life changed greatly. He was living among the swine, the pigs, feeding the pigs. Oh, how great was his fall. In Jeremiah 2, verse 19, we read, Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. And what is the Lord saying here? There's backsliding, there's wickedness, there's a forsaking of God, there's a lack of fear. My fear is not in thee. And dear believer, you and I are to fear the Lord. That is a reverent fear. That is a fear that honors Him. As we come to worship the Lord, we worship Him in fear. In a reverent fear. We hold to the regulative principle of worship. We do not bring into the house of God those things that are not commanded in the Scriptures. As we consider the church of Christ, they came together and they praised God. They praised God in a very simple way. Outside of all the means and the methods that this world uses, they worship God simply. They worship God through the reading and preaching of the Word of God. Very, very simply. And they showed their fear of God as they worshipped. If we look at the Scriptures, there's no drama or no dance in the New Testament church. There are no quizzes and games within the public worship of God. These are things we can see in worship today. We might have a fun quiz in a youth meeting. But that's not something we bring into the house of God with all the various means of doing these things. And we can look across the internet and see weird and wonderful ways in which people worship God. And it's not worship. It's not worship. It's bringing things into worship that are not commanded. Our worship is very, very simple. The fundamental reason is it's not commanded in God's Word, and we fear God. And so as we come to worship, we're mindful. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. We're not here to entertain ourselves. We're not here to replace the entertainment of the world in people's minds and still have fun. We're here to worship the God of heaven. Yes, it should be enjoyable because of our love for Christ. It should be enjoyable because we're coming to the Word of God and we're singing His praises. But there's a difference between being enjoyable because we love Christ and being something that entertains us. And as we come, we have the fear of God. For you.
Spurgeon's devotional today is taken from Jeremiah chapter 16 and the verse 20. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? One great besetting sin of ancient Israel was idolatry, and the spiritual Israel are vexed with a tendency to the same folly. Rephaim's star shines no longer, and the women weep no more for Tammuz, but Mammon still intrudes his golden calf. And the shrines of pride are not forsaken. Self in various forms struggles to subdue the chosen ones under its dominion, and the flesh sets up its altars wherever it can find space for them. Fevered children are often the cause of much sin in believers. The Lord is grieved when He sees us doting upon them above measure, They will live to be as great a curse to us as Absalom was to David, or they will be taken from us to leave our homes desolate. If Christians desire to grow thorns to stuff their sleepless pillows, let them dote on their dear ones. It is truly said that they are no gods, for the objects of our foolish love are very doubtful blessings. The solace which they yield us now is dangerous, and the help which they can give us in the hour of trouble is little indeed. Why, then, are we so bewitched with vanities? We pity the poor heathen who adore a god of stone, and yet worship a god of gold. Where is the vast superiority between a god of flesh and one of wood? The principle, the sin, and the folly is the same in either case, only that in ours the crime is more aggravated because we have more light and sin in the face of it. The heathen bows to a false deity, but the true God he has never known. We commit two evils, inasmuch as we forsake the living God and turn unto idols. May the Lord purge us from all this grievous iniquity. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to turn it from thy throne and worship only thee. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that the ministry of God's word and God's truth has been a rich blessing to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.